over superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Thursday, and that means we have a special installment today of the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. Later in the show, you asked for it. You got it. Everybody loved the Science in the News roundup last week when, unbeknownst to me and unannounced, we ended up adding Adele Musa, a.k.a. Professor Dr. Andro, in onto the show. And people said, Carl, this was so cool, you've got to do it again. And guess what? We're going to do it every Thursday. So later in the show, Adele will join me to do another installment of Science in the News Roundup. Welcome back to the show, Coach Johnson.
Good to be with you guys, always.
And, of course, Rob Regish, his second home, is on the air with me. How you doing, Rob?
Great to be back, man. Thanks for having me.
Okay, first of all, we're going to recap the Pro-Am that you attended, correct, Coach Johnson?
Yeah, this weekend was the SPF's the summer Pro-Am in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it's generally been held there each year at this time, and it's been called the Power Station Pro-Am, and the Power Station had to back out. There was a lot of issues for them. So the SPF went ahead and took it on, and Louis Simmons helped sponsor that meet.
Oh, how cool.
And so I got to be in the judge's chair. This is the third year in a row that I've got the privilege of judging that meet. And this year on squats, the past 2 years, myself and Joe Ladner, who obviously is a huge legend in the sport, he and I have been the side judges for the squat, and then they put me in the head chair for bench and deadlift. But this year, Jesse and Louie had me sit in the head chair for squats as well.
That's cool. So tell me about it. Were there any surprisingly new talents, any unknowns that showed up there and took the event by surprise?
Well, I wouldn't say there's any unknowns. I think this year, more than in years past, it seemed to me that the scrutiny of the judges, myself included, were tighter than they have been in years past. This is basically the big pro meet of the year for Multiply, and even I, sitting in the head judge chair, I was surprised at how tight it was called. And so we saw on the pro day there was about 30 lifters, and we had, at the end of the day, we had 12 lifters that didn't make it through the meet. And all of that was squat. We lost 7 lifters in the squat, and then 4 lifters in the bench, and then one lifter couldn't get a deadlift in.
Now, when you say lost them, did you mean they were injured or they were knocked out?
No, they missed all 3 of their squat attempts when we lost 7 of them, and they bomb out of the meet. You have to at least get 1 out of the 3 lifts, 3 attempts in to continue. If you miss all 3 of your attempts, then that is considered bombing out.
Well, okay, so
disqualified from the meet.
Let me ask you a question that kind of feeds into the second discussion we're going to have in a moment. Is it typical for an athlete to show up at an event like that and attempt a weight that they have never attempted in the gym, but for some reason they have a degree of confidence that that could be their new 1 rep maximum?
I have seen it done in the past at different meets, and I can't say 100% that it happened at this meet. But most of the lifters on the pro day, you're always instructors that are, you know, obviously very experienced. They're there. They have qualified. They're there for a reason because they're the best of the best. So, there, you know, generally, I would say there's never any guesswork with what those guys, you know, can do, those lifters. And this year, it was even more odd, I guess, for lack of a better term, because we saw some lifters that generally always do exceedingly well have trouble in the bench press and bomb out. And
what do you attribute that to? If a guy, I mean, you've been there on both sides of this situation. A guy gets in the gym, he knows he can handle this weight, he shows up at an event. What kind of things go wrong that make him miss?
I think in this case, with it being the pro-am, it's heightened. There's money on the line, there, you know, the world is watching, you know, everybody, you know, there's super huge expectations. And you know, and it's a lot of pressure. And again, when, you know, in the world of Multiply with the evolution of gear, you know, the window is really tight for there to be an issue. You know, you dehydrate to cut weight and maybe you cut too much, or you know, when you go to rehydrate, you don't fill out like you think you should. You know, there's so many variables, and again, the window is so tight on there being any sort of issue, and that's what we saw this weekend. You know, and each meet can be a little bit different. Sometimes the judging is not as tight as it has been previously. You know, you try to be as consistent as you can, and that's something I always try to be. You know, when people see me in the chair, they know what they're going to get. You know, whether you agree with me or not is not necessarily relevant. I'm the judge that's in the chair, you know, and then there's two others. So you kind of, you know, see the ebb and flow of the meet, you know, and make your adjustments accordingly. And that's the thing that I've always told my lifters. I mean, even if you go to a consistent, you know, meet venue where it's, you go to a federation and you know what kind of equipment, you know what kind of judging, you know, each meet is different. And a lot of times always have a game plan, but a lot of meets are won and lost in the adjustments that you make or the adjustments that you don't make. So I think in this case, you know, the tolerances for anything to be off are so slim that once they're off, you know, some, you know, then it's catastrophic as far as the result is concerned.
Rob, how long has it been since you competed in powerlifting?
You know, it's been a good 10 years, but I know what Wade's saying. You know, I competed in many meets and saw the judging criteria from very strict to, let's say, you know, somewhat loose. What I always learned, and the best piece of advice I was ever given, was by the guy that broke me in, Eddie Azzaro. He said, you want to make sure you open with something that you tripled with in training. And yes, that's conservative, and that might not cut it at you know, the world's or Wade's level, but you will, it almost ensures that you will not bomb out of the meet, and that will at least be able to compete through the rest of it.
What about that, Wade? So, what about that notion that starting at an ultra-conservative first, Brooks Kubik came on a couple weeks ago and talked about Sarah Robles at the Olympics.
Right.
And she opened with a weight that she never, ever executed, but she was so confident. She missed it the first two times, and the third time she got it. How much of that really comes down to sheer willpower? And if so, doesn't it make more sense to open with a weight that you really know you can, like Rob said, triple with, so that you have that confidence going forward?
Well, for me, I always have a game plan, and I have generally felt, depending on the lift. Now, my squat opener, when I squatted 1040, the highest I went in training was 960. But that was 960 was also what my opener was going to be, and I only did it once. I've done enough training to know how my body feels, you know, to know, you know, that I've got a big squat in me. Bench press is a little different because for me, you know, any adjustment in the shirt makes a big difference. So for 12 weeks, and I don't suggest this for everybody, I felt I had my opener in my hands because I wanted it to be flawless. And again, with the deadlift, I only went to my opener a couple of times during the entire training cycle. So I think a lot of it has to do with the experience of the lifter, and what Rob says is true, and it, something that a lot of people do. You know, they'll open conservative. Another approach has been do your last warm-up on the platform. So
meaning your first lift.
Right.
Yeah.
And but for me, you know, it's one of those things where I've done it long enough, and I'm sure Sarah has certainly done it long enough. I'd never want to attempt something that I've never felt before and then go through the stress of missing two attempts and, you know, needing that one, you know, not only to hit the lift but to stay in the meet. That kind of stress I avoid at all cost. You know, and for me and for lifters, you know, having judged and handled and coached so many lifters, lifting is very rhythmic, you know, and that first attempt is key because it sets the tone mm-hmm. most times, mm-hmm. for the entire meet. Even if it's, you know, if it's squat, you miss that first attempt, it generally has a negative effect on the other two remaining lifts.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this, and then we're going to talk about the mindset. This is a very appropriate transition. We're discussing the Pro-Am meet, and we're going to be talking about how the mindset for a one rep max attempt in the gym with Coach Wade Johnson. Coach, give your websites, please.
You can find me on Facebook. I have a personal web page and then the Johnson Strength Facebook page, johnsonstrengthgroup.com, and you can also find a forum at weightliftingdiscussion.com, and you can email me at supersquat800@yahoo.com.
And of course, Rob Regish, you can find everything you need to find out about Rob Regish by visiting the Superhuman Radio website. Look for the banner ad for both the Blueprint, the best training guide out there currently, and also Mass Pro Synthogen, a supplement that seems to be getting rave reviews from everybody who uses it. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from True Protein. TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Every day I'm hustling. This is true. Welcome back to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. Okay, so the discussion right now, we're continuing on just a little bit longer with the Pro-Am. Because the question I want to ask you, did you have anybody disagree with any of your calls?
All the time. Yeah, there's always someone, you know, and we didn't have a whole lot of, I guess, negative feedback or throwback on the internet as much as, you know, we have had at some meets in the past, but, and we can do an entire show on that. But, you know, it's the height of competition for one. And again, this is one of the, you know, the biggest meets of the year. And, you know, everybody's really trained hard and invested in the meet. And, you know, when it doesn't go your way, you know, it's one of those sports that, you know, by and large, the camaraderie is great and people are fairly polite, but it does get heated at times, you know. So, you know, generally I've got the respect of most of the lifters and they understand that I'm, you know, that I'm a lifter too and a lifter first, you know, and it kills me, you know, when I have to take a lift from a lifter or throw a red light on a close call, you know, but I'm the judge and I'm the one that I have to make the call based on what I see. And sometimes that's not popular and that's just the way it goes, you know. So, you know, by and large, because of the respect factor, they keep it in check. Every now and then someone will bark, but it's not too bad.
Was your buddy Harley there?
Harley was not there, but he was in the gym Monday. He's trying to convince me to go to a different meet later on this year with him, so okay. We'll be discussing that in the future.
Okay. Now, Rob, Coach Johnson was talking about earlier, you know, he used the words, if I feel like I have a big squad in me, then I'll attempt it. How often are we accurate in this visceral sense that, you know, I think I can do this today? This has happened to me, too. I have my own opinions, but how often are we accurate with this?
You know, I think that's an individual thing, and largely it goes back to how much training experience the person has and how much experience competing or maxing out. So if you look at experienced lifters, though, like Wade said, you know, they seem to have a sixth sense of what they're capable of. It is a rare lifter that I have seen, because although I haven't competed in 10 years, I'm still there to coach guys through meets. But in my opinion, it is a rare lifter that has underprepared physically. You know, these guys do the work. It's their passion in life. It's who they are. They've done all the physical work. What I see far more frequently is guys that have underprepared psychologically. Because once all of the physical work has been done and they're waiting on deck and now it's time to get under the bar, it becomes a mental game. And as much discipline as has been invested in their training and their diet and keeping regular hours and sleeping well, it is a smaller fraction of people, smaller percentage of people that put that same time and effort into mentally rehearsing, visualizing themselves successfully lifting their target weight. So to answer your question, I think a lot of top-level lifters are very in tune with their one rep max and what they're capable of on any given day, I think there would be a lot more, not only at that level, but also underneath, if the same time and attention were given to visualizing success and training the mind as much as the body.
Well, with that being said, Coach, don't you think that the assessment of, well, I've got a big lift in me today, comes from being correct numerous times in the gym with that notion? Like for instance, I haven't deadlifted in months, but a week or so ago, it was actually almost 2 weeks ago, I woke up and I thought, you know, I think I could deadlift today. And I went into the gym, and I pulled almost 500 pounds in a single. And I, the whole time I was doing singles, I kept saying, well, look, if it's good enough for weight, it's good enough for me. I don't have to do reps. So, but you know, it's like, and then, like, I was right about it, but then you don't want to tempt fate and go, well, I think I could do it again next week. Isn't that a learned, not so much visceral, but a learned sensation that you were right so many times, now you can do it at the meet?
I think so, and I'll tell you what I did early on in my career. As I was new in the sport and just coming up, I competed as often as I could, and I set aside when I was looking ahead at, you know, at for 6 to 12 months and looking at scheduling meets. I would look at each meet, you know, this is an important meet. This is one that I want to do well at. I would like to win, or I would like to hit a PR, whatever the case may be. And then I wanted to do X amount of meets for experience. I've always been a good squatter. When I was squatting, and this reminds me of a story, so remind me to tell you about it. When I was a kid squatting in my bedroom with my Orbitron concrete-filled weights, I took to the squat. You know, it was just something that came natural, and that's always been, you know, my big lift. But I knew that I struggled initially in my career. My bench press was so terrible, it really had an adverse effect on my total, and I was a mediocre puller, and I would still consider myself a mediocre puller. But what I was able to do is, like, every 8 to 12 weeks, I would do a meet. I would squat conservatively, you know, stay below my PR, and hit 3 solid squats. And then I would go in and try to hit a PR on my bench press and deadlift. And what that allowed me to do each year for probably the first 3 years that I did full competitions, my meet PR total would continue to go up, and I started getting experience. Because I think, you know, Rob hits something, you know, in what he had to say. Mentally, there is no way to prepare for a meet unless you're at a meet. And I put this, an analogy would be, like in my other life when I was a musician, you know, you're in a garage band and you guys have rehearsed, you know, the same songs 100 million times. But all of a sudden when you're on stage and in front of people and doing your first gig, it no longer feels like the garage. And the simple matter of fact is that it is not. And so you see that it is so much more than just simply playing the song. And it's the same when you go to a meet. You know, the gym is and should be a very, very controlled atmosphere. The meet platform, not so much. You have no idea what you're going to face each day. There, you know, there's ways that you can figure out how it's going to be consistent by your meet director, by your federation, and even location. But each meet brings something different. And it never seems to be just like when you're at the gym. So I think it comes down to experience, and that becomes learned, you know, by how many meets you do, and then paying attention. I've done the, you know, I did this meet, I evaluated what I needed to do, and I adjusted and addressed that in my training. And eventually over time, you get really in tune, you know, with what your body is capable of based on how you feel and based on how your training has gone.
What do you think about that, Wade? I mean, Rob, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with him. And I've been to meets where guys have had a certain lift in mind, and you can watch their faces when the rules are being read and how the judging's going to be, and some of them look real horrified, you know, when they realize the judging's going to be a lot tighter than what they had expected, and now they need to go back and figure, you know, they got to get a new game plan. you know, it's part of the reason why there are things in this world that are they're within your control, and there are things that are outside of your control. And one of the things that, you know, that one of the reasons why I brought that strategy up before of opening with something that you know you can triple with is you don't want to be surprised. You know, you can show up to a meet where the judging is to say, listen, guys, this is going to be tight. This is going to be real tight. Let me tell you how it's going to go. And you can still walk in there with 100% confidence that you're going to not bomb out and at least have your day, you know, be able to give it 100% and hopefully get the numbers that you want or the total that you want.
Okay, so let's transition to the next discussion, Coach Johnson. So when you go in, like right now you're doing this, okay? You are basically climbing the ladder once again to a heavy squat, heavy bench press, heavy deadlift for an upcoming meet in December. So what's the mindset when you start to go back into a weight zone that either you've never been in before or you haven't been in so long that you question yourself? What do you do mentally when you go into the gym to hit your new one rep max?
For me, it is a very mechanical thing. If I get too emotional about it, if I think, you know, too much about it, then I start getting nervous. I mean, it's like this training cycle. I was to my last squat day, I was to hit a 900-pound squat. That didn't happen for different reasons, but the week before last week, I was scheduled to do two singles with 880. And that's certainly close enough to 900 to make you feel the pressure of the weight.
Right.
But you know that it's getting to the point, you know, and I have specialty bars, so on and so forth. And there's a point to where even a 55-pound squat bar, when you're putting the weight on it in the rack, it bends the bar.
Right.
And you also, you know, you have to start making adjustments in how you set up with the weight, so on and so forth. So for me, I have to focus on, you know, this warm-up, I'm doing one rep with my belt with 345, and when this rep is done, we'll take a plate off, we'll put a 100 on, and I'll put my briefs on. And I try not to get too far ahead of myself. I know what my target number is. I have a plan going into the gym, because if I start thinking, you know, too much about it, you know, well, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? You know, I'm thinking I have to execute this warm-up, which will allow me to get to the next warm-up, you know, and I don't get ahead of myself at all. And I've done this long enough to know once I get to a certain weight, it's all going to hurt anyway. So it's like, you know, I have to commit to keeping my threshold of pain high. It's going to hurt. Get down there, listen for the up call, come up, put it in the rack, and you know, let's move on to the next thing. And that seems very simple, but it is not easy, you know, because like I said, once you get to a certain point of weight, regardless of what the discipline is, regardless of what the lift is, there's a certain level of pain even in training, even if it's not your one rep max. So I just stay focused on the mechanics of what I have to do, and that's all I think about.
Rob, you counsel hundreds of guys that are part of the Blueprint Army. Part of the Blueprint Army is, I mean, part of the Blueprint program is this constant pursuit of a new one rep max.
Right.
So do you discuss mindset? Do you discuss any of that sort of stuff with them when they're going in to use a weight that they've never used before to help give them a mental leverage point?
Yeah, absolutely. And tip of that spear is the following strategy. I usually have guys, at the very least, in the week leading up to the meet, visualize no less than 3 times a day and at least once before going to bed. Visualize themselves not just hitting that weight, let's say a 500-pound squat is the goal, not just squatting 500 pounds for a single, but doing it for a triple. And over that period of time, you know, even if you're only doing that for a week, you have subconsciously reinforced 21 times in your mind, you've not only singled with this, you've tripled with it. And it's an interesting thing because when somebody gets to the meet, much like Wade was saying, I 100% agree with this, I've seen guys that are, you know, just colorful, very gregarious guys in training, they go on cruise control. It's almost like automatic pilot. And it's because not only the body but the mind has been prepared for this, and they are very consistent. And you can think of it like this. It's probably best stated as they compete just like they train, meaning their warm-ups that they do in the gym, that they did, you know, to warm up to this one rep max, they're warming up with those same weights at the meet. You know, if you take a guy and you have him screw around with his warm-ups, you have him doing things that he was not doing in preparing for this meet, when he's doing things like that at the meet, there are going to be problems. So I preach consistency, not only in the physical and the mechanical, but also in the mental and the psychological. You need to train your brain as much as you do your body.
Okay.
So that when meet day comes, you're on automatic pilot.
We have to take a break. When we come back, Coach, I want you to think about this during the break. What are you thinking about moments before you get under the bar? What are you thinking about? And I know we've talked about this kind of esoterically in the past. I want you to really recount what's going through your head. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. This is Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Adele Musa, a.k.a. Professor Dr. Andrew, joins me as we do the Science and the News Roundup. We've got some really good stuff to talk about. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R. Today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Funny story real quick. This morning I wake up to do my morning cardio. I turn my phone on and there's a bunch of text messages from my son Chase. And the phone starts ringing and it's him. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's in San Diego. It's like 2:30 in the morning there. Well, he was training late last night because he's working and going to school, so he has to train in the evenings. And he was doing bent over dumbbell rows, but not on a bench. You know, I showed him how to do them by stabilizing yourself against your knee, which I believe works the back a lot harder than leaning against the bench. And he torqued his back, and he swore that he blew a disc. I said, you didn't blow a disc. I said, you know, and he was like, oh, I think I blew a disc. I don't know if I'm going to be crippled. I said, no. He says, I can't walk. I said, lay down on the floor. Sleep on the floor. Put the blankets on the floor. Sleep on the floor so you could your whole body can relax. And he just texted me. He said he woke up, and he feels a lot better. I said, that's good. You're a hard-training kid. This is going to happen from time to time.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so Coach Johnson. I know this is probably hard for you to recollect, but maybe it's not. You're walking up to the bar to do that 1,040 squat, okay? Are you thinking anything?
During the break, I was thinking, trying to recall, because a lot of it is so much a blur. It really goes back to what Rob was just saying previously. What I do, if you watch the training videos that I post, my approach to the bar is the same every time. And those are the things that, you know, that I constantly harp about. How you approach the bar, you know, do you touch your chest against the bar and then grab the bar? Whatever it is that you do, do it in training, do it the same, do it consistent every time. And that way, when it comes meet day, it's automatic. How I put my hands out against the collars, I get my feet set, things snugged up, and then you'll see me pull both hands in at the same time. I do it the same every time. So those are the things that I focus on. So I'm not going, holy crap, there's 1,040 pounds on the bar. And even right now, holy crap, there's 800 pounds on the bar. This is going to be heavy, and it's going to really hurt. And you're thinking about the execution. You know, I know that I need to do this. My feet will feel this way. My hips will feel this way. I put pressure against the bar. I take that big, huge, deep breath and, you know, and break my hips back and then push them forward to stand up. And then I wait for the commands, you know. And like I said, I've said several times, when I was headed to the hole with 1040, all I was thinking about was listening to Melissa Garrett's voice to give me the up call and, you know, not pass out. Don't pass out. Listen for the up call. And when I got the up call, it was just I exploded as hard as I could and stayed as tight as I could. And when I, you know, waited for the rack command, and that's really all I can, you know, recollect.
So you're not walking. You're not walking to the bar with about thinking about the fact that I'm going to be able to do this. This is going to be easy. Or you're not thinking I'm revving myself up. I'm going to do this. You know, you're not doing any of those things.
I'm not that kind of lifter. I tried to be that early on in my career, where I wanted someone to slap the crap out of me, and then that happens in training from time to time. You know, one of the guys will, you know, give me a pop if I need to be woke up a little bit, and then that's okay, and that's certainly acceptable and part of it. But by and large, I am trying to focus on the mechanics of everything that I do that I have done each day, day in and day out, you know, my entire career. as opposed to getting geeked up. I'm trying to go focus on the execution. This is what I've trained for. I've done this warm-up. I've done this. I've approached the bar this way hundreds, if not thousands of times. If I do these things correctly, based on my training, I should be successful with the weight. And it's rare that I've missed a squat in competition.
Rob, what about you? Are there, obviously, if you have somebody doing 21 plus mental visualizations of them executing a triple with this weight that they're going to go into the gym and try a one rep max with, okay?
Yep.
Is there something that they're thinking when they're there? Are they thinking to themselves, okay, I know I can do this because I did it in my head 21 times, or are they just focused on the moment or what?
No, I would tell you, I would go so far as to say this. If you're thinking, I need to do this, I need to do this, it's a recipe for disaster. You know, Wade said something that's very true. He said something to the effect of, you know, I don't remember.
Right.
You know, I don't remember.
Because it's second nature. It's like you don't remember how many times you took a breath a couple minutes ago, but you know you did because
right.
You're here.
what we're talking about here is ritual, and it is individual thing. But every individual has a ritual as to how they approach the bar, right down to you know which hand will grasp it first and where. How they'll duck under the bar in the case of the squat. It's called addressing the bar. And provided that ritual is repeated, like Wade said, hundreds, thousands of times over months and years, it should be automatic. You know, because if you go, if you address the bar and say, okay, I need to do this and then I need to do that and, oh, wait a minute, what was I supposed to do next? You're screwed. You're totally screwed. It needs to be automatic, and a lot like the strength itself that comes from your training, ritual is built into your central nervous system, and it comes with practice. You know, this is as much a game of practice as baseball is. You know, you need to be, in order to be proficient with the barbell, you need to practice. And if I'm not mistaken, I've heard and read Louis Simmons write that over and over and over. So it takes practice to develop ritual, but is well worth it come meet day.
Okay, let's talk about something else for a couple minutes and into the latter part of the show here. First of all, Wade, you wanted us to remind you to tell us a story about when you were squatting in your room.
Real quick, in the early days of powerlifting, maybe in its heyday, if you recall, it used to be on TV all the time.
Yes.
And one of the guys that dominated back in those days was Larry Pacifico.
Yes.
And I've known Larry's son, Jimmy, for a few years now. I've judged him at several meets, and he's a phenomenal lifter in his own right. And he's one of those guys that makes you want to puke, because not only is he ridiculously strong, he's one of those guys that, you know, can strut around in his underwear, and even the guys are going, damn, he looks great, you know. And now he's boisterous, and he doesn't mind telling you what he thinks about himself. But you gotta. There's some of that is required, you know, when you're staring, at, you know, at lifting some of these big weights, and he's doing it at a whole lot less body weight than I am. And I will say this about Jimmy as well. Having talked to him privately a few times, his demeanor is obviously much different, and he's a really really good young man. But back to Larry. Larry, his Jimmy's father, was, you know. It was called Larry the Legend. You know, he won world championship, you know, 10 and 11 years in a row and was dominant. And I remember vividly many times seeing him on TV. And I've seen Larry at a few meets, handling lifters, so on and so forth, but just because of the nature, excuse me, of the flow of the meet, I did not get an opportunity to speak with him. And this weekend, I got to go over to him. He was handling some lifters who were phenomenal as well, and got to introduce myself and spend a few minutes of time with him, and told him, you know, about how when I started in my bedroom and had the real shoddy, you know, tube metal multi-bench that you could fold out the uprights that you benched on and,
right.
And lengthen them so you could squat out of them, and how I never killed myself. you know, was beyond me. And he, you know, of course he remembered all the DP, you know, diversified product plates and the Orbitron plates and stuff like that. But it was because of Larry and those guys on TV that I watched that got me interested in powerlifting in the first place.
Wow.
And, to be able to spend a few minutes of time, you know, with him, and he, you know, he's one of those guys that you see him and he just epitomizes grace and, is so, you know, he just, like he's so startled that someone would go, hey, I used to watch you on TV and you, you know, you were awesome and it inspired me, you know, so. It's just one of those, you know, those, the cool moments you get to see so many good lifters, so many young lifters, experienced lifters with what I do and coach people and so on. But to, you know, for someone that influenced me to get into the game when I was just a kid to be able to sit down and have a few minutes of his time was a highlight.
Yeah,
for me.
That's gotta
really,
be a real
really cool, cool deal.
All right, let's do this. We're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get an update from Coach Johnson on where he is, his journey to a competition in December. At the ripe young age of 47 years old, right, Wade?
Yeah, I just turned 47 over the weekend, so it's official.
Oh, dude, happy birthday, man. Okay, all right, now we're going to have to break your chops when we come back from the break. Now, there you go. All right, stay tuned. We have more Superhuman Radio in front of you.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product, bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See Eye Drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See Eye Drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
With Ross MG. All people in the dance will agree that we're well qualified to represent.
Okay. On such short notice, I couldn't find Happy Birthday.
Right.
So I figured Hail to the Chief was the next appropriate song to play for you. Happy Birthday, Wade Johnson. So you're 47 years old now.
47.
You know what I decided I'm going to do during the break? I'm going to sit tight at 54 and wait for you to catch up.
Just wait.
I'm just gonna be waiting for you. You'll see me when you get to that part of the road.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So at that, with that being said, how's the training going? You mentioned something that you went for 900 the other day, but
did not. What I did, here's what happened, and this, I'll try to make this as brief as possible. This is why training partners, paying attention when you're spotting and making everything as safely as possible as you can. And that doesn't always safeguard against something going awry and then having issues. Last week in the squad, I was scheduled to do two singles at 880. And there was only three other guys with us, but I have safety straps, so on and so forth. I ask everybody when I walked in, are you going to be comfortable spotting this? And everybody said, yeah. And I said, well, let's just get it on then. Did the first 880. I got a little forward and made the adjustment and just grinded on through it. No big deal. And the second one was a lot better squat, stood up. The problem once you get so heavy is, again, you know, the variables, the window for there being any kind of issue, you know, to draw pretty narrow. And when the rack of the monolift was brought in, and it's brought in quickly and hard because it's 880 pounds, and I was fine on the left side. I guess I had dipped a little bit, the bar dipped a little bit on my back to the right, so the base of the upright, when it came in, it hit the bar. And when it did, it pulled me up on my heels. My toes are off my floor, off the floor, and, you know, I'm saying, I don't have it, I don't have it, and, you know, you got a split second, and 880, I start going down with 880, and I finally realize we're not going to be able to stop this, so I turned it loose, and it went into the straps, and it shot me to the front of the monolift. And I'm okay, you know, and nobody did anything wrong. It's just the risk, you know, that is associated with training.
Well, and we've actually talked about the fact when I've started watching your squats, I used to say, I even said to you, Wade, why is the bar leaning further to the right? You have that naturally inclination,
yep.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it does happen. And we made an adjustment this week, but, you know, we were losing guys that, you know, due to schedule during the morning. I got to 855, and I will say this. I'm okay. Now, did I get through unscathed? No, that's not 100% accurate. My right knee has been an issue since about 2005 from a non-lifting incident. And after this last meet, when it hyperextended in the deadlift, I had injured it about 4 weeks before the last meet, but it, you know, everything was okay, felt okay through the squats, but I hyperextended the knee during my second attempt deadlift, and honestly, it's never been the same. Through some supplementation and rehab, it's been fine, but it's extremely sore right now, and my lower back is sore, and I'm still pretty tight. Of course, I didn't miss any training. I just did auxiliary work last week. I didn't do any cardio or Olympic lifting. I did a little bit of heavy declines. I think I may have posted video of that. And then I had a great deadlift day Friday, but right from Friday I left for Cincinnati. So you're driving. I was in the judge's chair all weekend. Then you drive back. And just at 8:55, I didn't feel like I was 100%. And I was like, well, I'm still 14 weeks, you know, from this meet. I've got 12 good training weeks. What is going to be the advantage of taking the goal weight, you know, in training? You know, you're not 100%. You're still a little beat up. You know, 8:55 was solid. 8:55 was good. Let's call that a training cycle.
Right.
So, but, you know, again, it, you know, if you're part of a training group, you got to show up. You've got to be there, especially when you've got, you know, one of your partners is getting ready for a meet, because you're not being there or being late or not paying attention not only affects your training, you know, it affects the people that you train with. And invest in everything you can for safety. Those safety straps probably saved my life.
Really? Because if you would have had to let that roll down your back, it would probably hit you.
Well, it wouldn't have rolled down my back. It would have just pinned me on the floor. That's exactly what would have happened, because of the equipment and everything, you know, that I'm wearing, you know, that my ability to be, you know, agile and maneuverable is just not,
right.
You know, it's not going to happen. It would have taken me straight to the floor, you know, and no matter how big and strong you are, once you don't have control of 880 pounds, it's going to, you know, gravity takes over and that weight wants to kill you. Trust me.
Right.
So
now,
you know,
have you had a discussion with the folks that didn't make it, or is it just unavoidable? They just couldn't be there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't, again, you know, I repeat that it was no one's fault. You know, there are just times where, you know, sometimes people can't be there. You know, we've had, you know, some issues where some guys weren't showing up, and, you know, as the coach or as the guy that owns the gym, you have to finally have the conversation with them that, hey, you know, you came to me and wanted to be part of this. You committed. You know, part of that committed is being here and being here on time and prepared to get the work in, you know, and then that's just the way it goes. But, you know, in this case it's just, you know, people couldn't be there. I asked if everybody would be comfortable. And again, nobody made a mistake other than the weight dipped to the right a little bit and we couldn't catch it in time, you know, so, and that's why we have the load straps, you know, just in case something goes wrong. And in this case, it did. You know, the straps caught the 880, and everything was fine.
If let's say you were agile enough to step forward and push it off your back, that would have just. I mean, I would imagine that's a concrete floor in your gym, right? Or do you have those rubber pads down?
I've got. It is a concrete pad, but I do have the big heavy stall mats as well.
Okay, because I was going to say 880. I would imagine that would pretty really put punch a hole in the concrete in the floor.
It would either way, because it most likely, you know, because it never comes off your back even. It would have probably hit, you know, one end of the monolift, and then that's when it would have really been ugly. I've seen bar dumps with 1,000 pounds hit the base of a monolift and just, you know, bend it like it was, you know. Silly putty.
What kind of modifications can you make? You naturally have a slight drop in the right side of the bar. If you start with the monolift too low, then you've got to get down deeper underneath the bar. That's going to throw off your setup.
Well, what I did in this case is, and I had done it the week before, and just didn't do it. You know, so you know some of that responsibility is mine. I have a typical setting that I use when I squat, do competition squats. The week before, I had lowered it one and then, you know, give the jack a couple of pumps, you know, just so I get a little bit more clearance. But I'm not so much lower that it affects my setup. And that's what I'll have to do. You know, that's what I did this week. You know, I'll just have to make the adjustment. In this case, probably what I did is I went just a hair wider. And again, I go back to, you know, your tolerances when you get to certain weights and equipment, you know, and at a high level.
Yeah, you got no recovery time. You got no recovery.
You know, there is the window is very narrow to make any kind of mistake. And the mistake can be even fractional, you know, and the next thing you know, there's 880 pounds that's airborne.
Okay, so last question, and then we've got to pull the plug on this interview. Your original goal squat for this event in December was how much?
900 pounds.
Yeah, so you're there. Okay, I got you. And yeah, why rush it? Why push anything?
And you know, and that's when I was like, you know, because I was getting all geeked up because I knew my strength was returning, and you know, even though my body weight is starting to creep a little bit lower, and you know, and then it was like, no, wait a minute, you know, let's work on getting the weight down, the body weight down, and then see how you respond. And, you know, you're still 3 months out of a meet and you're taking, you know, your goal weight. So I was like, you know, let's back off. Let's start the training cycle over, you know, and create a cycle to get ready for this meet and then see what comes. But, And I'll be honest, even from 2 years ago, my ability to recover and the amount of, you know, tolerances that I have diminished a little bit. And that just goes with the territory of getting older, I suppose.
I can finally say this. Wait till you get to be my age.
Yeah. So, yeah, cause I look back at pictures from even 2 years ago, you know, and it's like, dude, you've gotten a little grayer, you know, and things of that nature. So, you know, it's one of those things, like I said.
Dude, I just had a greatest friggin' publicity idea for you. You need to, I don't know if you can do this or not. I mean, it may not be practical, but it was so cool if you could do the event in December in a Santa Claus suit.
That's not going to happen.
Okay. Okay, just chalk that up to one of Carl's douchebag ideas. How about that?
Okay.
Listen, we have to pull the plug on the interview. It's always great to have you guys on the show. This is a holiday weekend. I hope you guys have a fun weekend ahead of you, both you, Coach Wade Johnson, and Rob Regish. Thank you for being on the roundtable discussion today, and we'll see you both in 2 weeks to do another episode. How's that sound?
Great to be with you guys.
Okay. All right. Take care. When we come back, we're going to have Adele Musa on, and we're going to talk about the science and the news roundup. We got lots of really great stuff to talk about. Vaccine stuff, workout stuff, supplement stuff, all sorts of stuff. So don't forget to come back. We'll be right back.
Girl, I promise you, there's no substitute.
It's just me. Yeah, my, your dude is back. The Maybach roof is back. Tell the whole world the truth is back. You ain't gotta argue about who can rap, cause the proof is back. Just go through my raps. Where my troopers at? Where my hustlers? Where my boosters at? I don't care what you do for stacks. I know the world glued your back to the wall. You got a brawl. I've been through that, been shot at, shoot back. Gotta keep a peace like a boot ass. I ain't a new jack, move back. Let I breathe, shed our night. The more space I get, the better I write. Oh, but if ever I write, I need the space to say.
Change clothes and go.
I stay fresh, deported from the projects, and I'ma take you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, Rocky Road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. You know, last week I had a guest fall out, so I did a science in the news roundup. And halfway through the show, I get a Facebook message from my dear friend in Munster, Germany, Adele Musa, a.k.a. Professor Dr. Andrew. How you doing, Adele?
I'm doing fine.
And he says, you know, I've got all these same studies in front of me. He says, if I'm sitting here, if you want to have me on the show. So I call him up, and I get him on the second half of the show, and we do the show together. And I start getting emails from people saying, hey, you and Adele ought to do this more often. Why don't you make it a weekly segment? So the audience asked for it, and they got it. Every Thursday, we will be covering a science news roundup about things that we think that the audience should know about. And Adele has prepared a really great list of things to talk about today. So why don't we get started, first of all? And for those of you who don't know who Adele is, we have a lot of newcomers, women especially, coming to the show to find the prescription for longevity. The website to go to read some of the best information, it's Adele's blog. It's Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Check it out. Adele, let's talk about the go-to surgery in this day and age with all the obesity, and that's gastric bypass surgery. What do we know now?
Well, it's quite interesting. I've been always against gastric bypasses because I think it's only the last solution when nothing else is working. But out of the research that's done around gastric surgery, we can actually get clues also in terms of how people could eventually further their weight loss even if they are not considering to get a gastric bypass. Because in those people who got the bypass done and also before in rodent models, we see that that even before the or in the context of the weight loss, there are also other changes which cannot be solely explained on the basis of losing weight. And there has been a very recent study that was published in the journal Diabetes Care of the American Diabetes Journal. And they describe a phenomenon that has already been observed in rodent models before and in a few preliminary studies in human beings, and that is a profound increase in the GLP-1 response, which is part of the insulin cascade or of the insulin and glucose management cascade in those subjects. And in the end, it's not just that their stomach might be smaller and they cannot overeat anymore, but also their reaction to the food they eat is sort of normalizing after the operation took place. And that's very interesting because it offers also a solution or at least a point where people could work at or maybe scientists could develop drugs for. That would attack just this weak point in the system and try to renormalize their glucose and insulin response via targeting this special peptide.
Well, in fact, when I was up to see Dr. Matt Andry not too long ago, he has a bariatric clinic up there. He prescribes a pen-loaded injection system called Victoza, I believe it is. Victoza. And it's recombinant GLP-1 injections, once a day injection,
yeah, exactly.
And it suppresses appetite, and it also slows down gastric motility, so food goes through you much slower, and you're not hungry.
Yeah, And what's interesting about this study also is that one of the side effects people may be scared about is that it also helps or increases the insulin spike. But on the other hand, it makes insulin work better. And in essence, the main problem is not that you have an insulin spike, but rather that you have too many of those and you have constantly elevated insulin levels. And this is actually one of the more intriguing observations from the study, I believe at least, is that while the acute response to glucose ingestion is normalized, that is, it's exaggerated even compared to the still obese, to the people who did not have the operation before, that this makes all the difference because they are suddenly able to clear the glucose from the blood effectively so that over hours their glucose level normalizes faster. And in the end, we do know that what is the real detrimental thing about diabetes is not the release of insulin, but it's that the glucose remains in the blood. And the glucose starts producing or starts to damage the tissue. And this would actually be a factor that obviously can improve your health, and it could also obviously improve your weight loss because you would not have to be, you would not have the same problems with every type of carbohydrate you eat.
Well, you know what? We were going to segue into a different story, but I was wondering if we could segue into calorie restriction and its ineffectiveness, because I think that's kind of an important discussion to have at this moment on the heels of discussing this unique peptide and its effects.
Yeah, I think it's quite related because people will probably remember the early studies in those worms where they found that the worms lived longer when they were calorically deprived. And then scientists have been able to reproduce similar effects, not to the same extent, but similar effects in rodents. And then there was a study that was done with monkeys, and that really made the news. I suppose most people would have heard of the study that was done in monkeys. And interestingly, and this is a very important point, the study has now been, other scientists have tried to repeat the same study. And what they found was that there was no life-extending effect of those 30% calorie-restricted dietary regimen the monkeys were put on. In other words, the previous study was not wrong or it wasn't fake, but there was a problem in the study the scientists probably have not considered because, as they themselves point out in an interview, they say, when we began these studies, the dogma was that a calorie is a calorie. So they did not really care about what they fed their monkeys. And if we compare the two studies, the first one, which showed an effect, and the later one, which was just, or the results of which were just published, then we will see that one or maybe even the most important difference was the sucrose, that is the plain sugar content of the food the monkeys were given.
Ah.
And the difference is almost seven times more sugar for the monkeys who lived longer when they were calorically restricted and the other way around, you could say, the monkeys where this did not work, they just had less simple table sugar in their diet. And in addition, they also received a supplement that contained a group of antioxidant vitamins, and they had fish oil in their diet. So what's the bottom line here? Well, it's quite easy, actually. If you reduce the amount of quote-unquote bad foods or at least suboptimal diet,
sugar,
then
right.
You will live longer. But if you just reduce the amount of food from a diet that does not hamper your longevity in the first place, this will not increase your lifespan.
Now, did they look at the production of, you know, all of the hypocaloric diet models point to an upregulation of silent information regulator 1, or SIRT1, and that SIRT1, which is also increased with the use of resveratrol, was the reason for longevity. Did any of these studies dispel the link between SIRT1 and longevity?
I think the first study has done better on that. For the second study, the problem is that the paper, the official paper, has not yet been published. It has been announced, but at least I have not found it in one of the major journals. So this is more or less a preliminary report directly from the scientists. And so far, in this report I have, there is no information about the upregulation of those sirtuins.
Okay.
But I would suppose that there could, in fact, be a slight upregulation due to the caloric restriction, but there, essentially, it is not the more the better, but there is a certain threshold level which will suffice to help the body repair itself. And this is actually where the sirtuins and the effects of resveratrol come in, is that the cell cycle, that is the normal cell cycle from the birth of a cell to the death of a cell, that this is working optimally, and thus, for example, you will see lower cancer rates, and this is also part of the explanation why resveratrol can have cancer protective effects. Now, on the other hand, you will have less damage if you are not eating a junk food diet,
right,
junk food in quotation marks, so that you would not even have that much need for repair. And therefore, I would assume that you could maybe see a slightly higher sirtuin expression in the calorically restricted monkeys. But this is a problem with much of this research. You measure those artificial markers in the blood or by gene assays in cells, and then you try to conclude what will happen with a complex organism. For example, when we first had this monkey study, or before we had the first monkey study, everybody said, well, okay, lifespan of rodents is so short, even if we could reproduce the effects in rodents, and they were already so much less pronounced, then they will be negligible in human beings, because human beings live so much longer. And this argument appeared to be falsified with the first study, but in fact is not, and it's still valid, and therefore I would assume that if there is a difference, the study at hand, the newer study, actually shows that it doesn't really matter.
Well, you know, the thing that speaks to me the most, when I go back and think about some of the shows that we've done with scientists who have shown that it is glucose signaling that speeds cellular senescence. And then what you're talking about with the inclusion of sugar, and then the linkage between resveratrol and its ability to manage blood sugar. In fact, there's a study, I believe, out of University of Guelph in Canada that showed that milligram for milligram, resveratrol outperformed the gold standard, metformin, for managing blood sugar.
There's a problem. Unfortunately, this works in the petri dish, but it does not work in human beings. And we have another study on the list that actually tailors right into, or segues right into that, because scientists have now been able to, or are just about to produce a liposomal or a special carrier molecule for resveratrol to get into the body, because the bioavailability, that means how much of the resveratrol you ingest will actually work inside your body, is so low that I do not really know of any human trial with dosages you could afford as a normal human being to take on a daily basis that reproduced any of those significant effects. You see, when you administer it at ridiculously high doses to rodents, or you just put it into a pretty dish and drop a cell line into it.
Right.
And this is a real problem, and maybe the future holds more promising delivery systems for this compound. So this could, in fact, be an interesting pathway to help not only combat obesity, but also to extend lifetime.
You know, it's interesting. Liposomal delivery is touching everything that we've ever known to be effective orally. And it makes perfect sense that the next step would be for something like a liposomally delivered
resveratrol. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about an article that was published originally in Subversity this week about the mercury in fish. I am corrected. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day. And you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
And when Adele Musa is on the show, Learning More, author of the fantastic blog, Subversity.com. Okay, Adele, you published on your blog recently something that I had to be corrected about. I have said on the show, don't worry about eating fish because many fish like tuna have high selenium, and the selenium allows you to rid your body of the mercury. This is not true, is it?
Well, in a way, it's true. We have significant evidence that the higher the ratio of selenium to mercury, the lower the tissue retention will be. But it's quite obvious that things that sound logical and work in isolation must not always translate into practical applicability. And I must say, I myself more or less believed in the idea that the selenium would automatically protect you from the overload of mercury. But there has recently been published a rodent study, I must admit. Well, obviously, you would not want to feed humans so much mercury as to see until they develop neurological changes, as the rodents did in the study. And the study basically showed that compared to just adding mercury chloride, or a chloride form of mercury to the diet, the diet that was enriched with fish meal from fish that had been caught in the wild, and they had quote unquote normal or the normal mercury load the fish in this region had, that the diet with the actual fish in it led to a different tissue distribution of the mercury. For example, there was literally no mercury in the striatum, that is a part of the neurological system, but still only the rodents that were fed the fish mercury diet developed within the, I think it were 6 weeks study period, profound neurological changes and even behavioral changes, which reflected the changes in neurotransmitters in their brains. And this essentially disproves the hypothesis that we can assume that due to the selenium in the fish, which was actually present and much higher in the fish diet than in the other diet, in the standard diet that was just supplemented with mercury, that this is enough to really ward off all the negative effects. Now, the downside to this study, I didn't really think about it when I published the article, but the initial comments in the comment area under the post, they already reminded me that you really have to be cautious about things like that, because people are really getting scared away from eating fish at all, and this was by no means my intention. And it would also be foolish to say that you cannot eat fish anymore, because not every fish, every type of fish, is high in mercury, and even within the different species, you will find fish that were caught in a certain region to have higher mercury in their tissue, and others to have lower mercury in their tissue. And if you don't eat fish on a daily basis, there are actually few fish you should maybe really avoid. But if you are just eating one time a week your fish, a fatty fish, then I don't think that you will have to really worry about the mercury load, especially if you think about what you will find in the alternatives you have to eat.
Right.
Because in the end, it always comes down to the whole sum of pesticides and organic and inorganic molecules you are exposing yourself, whether or not you will take away damage. And the exact opposite, I was reminded of the exact opposite of this phenomenon of scaring away people from fish, which happened actually in response to my own post, which I highly regret, or I regret that that it had this effect, was the publication of a news item today on how healthy milk chocolate is for you.
How healthy what?
Milk chocolate.
Really?
Chocolate. Yeah. They did a study, I think, in a Swedish population, and they found that, again, for the, I don't know, I would venture to guess, the 1,050 first time that chocolate is good for your health. And what they specifically mentioned is that in Sweden, most people would consume milk chocolate, and therefore milk chocolate, of which we all know that it's mostly sugar,
right,
and there's hardly any chocolate in it, and that this must be healthy as well. So if people read this article, their take-home message for them will be milk chocolate is good for you. Everything with chocolate is good for you. So the brownies, which have those little chocolate chunks in it, must be good for me. On the other hand, they read my post and think, oh, there's mercury in fish. Fish must be bad for me. So I better eat chocolate all day and skip on the fish forever. And this is exactly what happens, or what you must be aware of when you have public attention. fortunately, I'm in a position where I don't have that many readers as Science Daily, where the previously mentioned news item appeared today. But so I did not scare away so many people from fish as now.
Well, and see, Adele, and this is something that after doing this show for 8 years, and there was periods of time where I felt like a ping pong ball, where one study was a palette on one side and the other study was a palette on the other side, and they were banging me back and forth because I'm constantly contradicting myself. And then I started to think to myself, you know, this is where your critical thinking skills need to come in. Everyone must realize, and you know, as a species, we're actually getting ready to do a show about this. As a species, we tend to fall in love with something, and then we have to find justification for using something. Like you've heard me maybe recently go on my rants about alcohol, all alcohol. You know, I like the medicinal effects of alcohol, but the truth is alcohol is not good for you. And I can find studies that say it's good for you. I don't believe them. It doesn't matter to me. If it's good for me, then I should be giving it to my one-year-old. I should be giving it to my dog. I should be giving it to the cat. I should be giving it to everyone, my old grandmother. It's not good for them. It can't be good for me. So
I think one of the problems is that's also in human nature, that we tend to try to think in black and white terms.
Right.
And this also evolutionarily conserved, because in danger situations, we need to know, is that white or is that black? Do we have to flee or can we stay? And we conserve this mechanism of sorting all things pertaining to our lives into those categories. And the more we feel that they could harm us or could benefit us as far as our health goes, the more black and white the thinking becomes. And in most cases, it's not like that. We have discussed the other study before with the life-extending effects of calorie restriction.
Right.
Well, it is life-extending if you are eating a diet that will shorten your lifespan. Better if you eat less of it.
Right.
So oftentimes it depends on the circumstances.
Right.
And for example, for someone who is who does not have blood sugar issues, who's lean, who's athletic, maybe you can really get a benefit from even milk chocolate, from the little chocolate that's in there, and you would maybe even eating all the sugar anyway because he's drinking those performance drinks you need when you are an endurance athlete, or
right.
You are told you would need when you are an endurance athlete, and instead switching to milk chocolate, or even better, maybe chocolate milk, could be an advantage for him.
Right.
But those general messages, they can be, in fact, very dangerous for individuals as well as for the whole society.
Okay. Let's move on to something different that's also very intriguing to me. You found a study that distinguishes testosterone in elite female athletes. Talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, I don't really know why exactly they measured the levels or what their reasoning was to investigate that. But what they found is that there is a profound difference in the baseline as well as in the competition testosterone levels in normal achieving athletes, female athletes, and the elite. And they found that those who were track and field, netball, cycling, swimming, and bobskeleton athletes, they found that those women with the higher testosterone response and the higher testosterone levels were the ones in the elite groups. And obviously, there are many mechanisms to which this could be related. But the most obvious, the most straightforward, I think, is rather the psychological edge this
uh-huh.
woman got from the testosterone. That is the slight edge in aggressiveness you need to really excel in sports. And not so much maybe the increased muscle growth they could take away from that. Because to achieve that, it takes real differences. And this is also something many of the men won't believe, although I repeat it in every second blog post, that you really have to have much higher than only normally high testosterone levels to see active increases in lean muscle gains from that.
Right.
And the psychological effects, on the other hand, can be mediated by much minor differences, and even locally in the brain, by changes in aromatized expression in the brain. And therefore, the most likely explanation that testosterone levels differ and testosterone levels or responses to exercise and competition are associated with greater performances, especially in women, or even in women, you could say, because this is not really what you would maybe expect, is their neuroendocrine effect, and not so much the systemic endocrine effect.
Well, and in fact, there's a well known effect of testosterone dominance in the brain that we've talked about years ago. I want to say Dr. Braverman was one of the people that started talking about this estrogen dominant, testosterone dominant brain function. And we know that when testosterone is present in higher levels, there's an upregulation in receptors for it to dock into. And as you aptly point out, there's a change in the way the person acts and reacts. Reaction times go down. The ability to startle a person goes down. These have all been proven in studies when testosterone levels are high. So it makes perfect sense that women who are elite athletes, because of the amount of competitive aggression that they need, and also there's another factor here. Testosterone and its conversion to estrogen play a role in pain thresholds. So you could say that these women have the ability to push themselves harder, where other women would go, oh, you know, this hurts, I have to stop, and that woman's going to go, bring it on. You know, it's a totally different demeanor. So that makes perfect sense. It's not from the muscle size. If anything, their muscles get bigger because they push the body harder.
Of course. And that's also one of the facts you might even see in men when they just have a small increase in testosterone. They train harder and they gain more because they train harder. And interestingly, there was also a correlation with higher cortisol levels. That means what you often hear is the go-to ratio of testosterone to cortisol, which would determine everything, and cortisol is so bad for you. That again does not hold true. And there is a very important study from Phillips Group at McMaster University, who conducted a, I think, 15 or 16-week trial and tried to correlate hormone responses to the exercise with lean gains in muscle mass and also other marker strength and intracellular hypertrophy. And the most astonishing finding was that there was no correlation at all with testosterone for any of those markers, but there was a positive correlation with cortisol and lean mass gains. So this tells you much about the general attitude or the correctness of the general attitude towards cortisol. It's basically, once again, one of those black and white pictures that are totally inappropriate, because a robust cortisol response in the right moment is exactly what you need to cope with the stressor. It's a problem when it's not going back again or going back down to normal levels,
right,
and when you're chronically stressed. But just that you can jack up your cortisol does actually rather show that you are pretty healthy than the exact opposite.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Adele, I want to talk about your recent blog post about young women can combine strength training with either steady state or high intensity cardio and still see progress, which is the natural thing for us to talk about next. Later in the show, Adele's going to talk about a study that clearly defines the relationship between vaccines and infant mortality. You're not going to want to miss this one, I promise you. You're listening to the Science and the News Roundup. I'm joined today by Adele Moussa, author of the blog Supversity, SUPPVERSITY. .com. Check it out. We'll be right back. Morbid Nutrition.
Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomeres. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so let's follow on with more of the discussion for women. So Adele, you had a blog post recently that discusses the combined effect of strength training with either steady state or high intensity cardio. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, interestingly, that was a sneak peek preview for you, so it's not even published yet. But I had a very related blog post as of late, and that got pretty much attention. That was not totally female-specific, but it goes in the same direction. And in both studies, we see a test in how far you can do strength training and classic endurance training, that is steady state, walking on a treadmill or going jogging, nothing really extreme, but in the suspicious fat burning zone or slightly above, not totally exhausting, and still strength train and actually see results. And you oftentimes hear that this is problematic because they were mutually exclusive. And I agree to a certain extent that they are so far mutually exclusive that you can't become a marathon runner and a weightlifter and perform in both disciplines at the Olympic Games in London or wherever next. But they are not in so far exclusive as you must not do one, must not do the other if you are deciding to do one. And especially strength gains and also increases in muscle mass, which is obviously not just something you want to have out of aesthetic reasons, but also because it's the single most conclusively proven predictor of not only of getting old, but also of getting old healthy and still being able to function into your old ages. And I think this is even more important to have, say, 80 years of perfect life quality than having maybe 85 and 15 years of those are lost in the wheelchair or lost even lying in bed because you are bedridden and hardly able to walk. And therefore, it's important for men and women to do strength training. And if you really want to further your strength, especially as a beginner, you can do both. You can do strength training, and you can do either steady state or high intensity interval training. And both regimen did not hamper the strength gains of the women who trained, I think, two times a week, and either on a combined or an isolated regimen. And all three groups, all three training groups, had identical results as far as their strength gains were concerned. Unfortunately, in this particular study, the data on the body composition is more or less inconclusive or insufficient because they did not really do those scans to determine how the body fat and muscle levels changed. But I bet that by combining the training regimen, and if you have the time to train more often on different days of the week, you will achieve much superior results and be also much more satisfied with what you see in the mirror.
Okay, now let's move to and because of the desire to create muscle and the desire to influence protein synthesis. I invited a doctor to come on the show, but she kind of snubbed me because I believe she felt that her work at the Children's Hospital was more important than what we talk about here to our audience. With that being said, can we talk a little bit about the study that you dug up? And I know it's an older study, but it's worth talking about, that shows that after a fast, there seems to be a greater degree of the protein synthetic response to a bolus meal.
Yeah, you're talking about the study in piglets, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Actually, this is a little sort of related to what we said yesterday about breastfeeding, because if you think about it, how does breastfeeding work? Does it work that an animal baby or a human baby is connected 24/7 to the mother's breast and sucking all day minimal amounts of protein or mother's milk out of the breast? No, of course it's not. And therefore, it's actually logical that we see beneficial effects from an intermittent administration of, in this case, it was kind of a formula made for pigs that was administered to the animals. And the scientists wanted to know what's better to grow pigs. Obviously, when you're studying pigs, you're mostly interested in how to generate the best revenue with the least cost. So this is something you must keep in the back of your mind whenever you look at studies done on pigs and on cows and other animals that are used to produce meat. It's often with a different background, but this does not disqualify the results they have or they see in terms of making conclusions out of them.
Especially in the case of pigs, right? Especially in the case of pigs.
Especially in the case of pigs, yeah. Yes. In the case of ruminants like cows, for example, you must, of course, see that their metabolism and especially their digestive system is completely different from ours. But I would venture to guess that we are much more closely related to swine or to pigs than than we are to rodents. They are larger animals, so they are more complex than rodents. They have longer lifespans, and they are omnivores just like we are. At least if you feed them everything, they will basically eat everything.
Right.
So back to the results of the study, we see that only when the protein feeding or the feeding of this formula that was high in protein, only when this was given in regular intervals with a fast intermittent fast, so to say, in between, there was this spike that is really necessary to elucidate the protein synthetic response. Otherwise, the protein was more or less trickling in all the time, and much of it was actually directly oxidized instead of stored.
Right.
Because this trickling in of protein, this low-grade, what you often see in people who are trying to lose weight and following the old age advice of having multiple 20, 30 small meals a day in the extreme case, they are trying to nibble around all day. And this will neither induce any satiety effects and will make it rather impossible to stick to any diet, nor will it help you to really make use of any exercise you're performing in while you're dieting. For example, to increase your strength and your muscle mass, because you need to cross this threshold of which we now know that it's in younger people it's about 10 grams of essential amino acids, or when we are talking about protein supplements, that would be roughly 20 grams of whey protein. In older subjects, it's rather higher. There we see a threshold of somewhere between 30 grams of protein, of high quality protein. That means protein with with a high content of essential amino acids that is really required to be ingested in one single meal and in a relatively short time span to induce this protein anabolic response and to really make use of your body's own ability to build muscle and therefore subsequently to build strength. And it is not just this, because this cascade also includes that your whole metabolism will accelerate and you will feel satiated. And all that speaks in favor of not nibbling around all day, but rather at least having some break point in between meals. And this does not just go for people who are trying to lose weight, but in a way it does also go for people who are trying to gain weight. Because even if you are drinking, I have not seen a study on that, but I would venture to guess that if we really did a study, even human beings, where they would fill them up until they burst almost with whey protein all day, we would see not only a point of diminishing return, but something that would probably be slightly related or similar to what we know as insulin resistance. That is, that the response slowly starts to degrade and somewhere starts to diminish. Because when we are looking at how the body works, then there are always certain trigger points and things happen when sudden changes occur. When you are at a steady level, nothing happens. And only when those spikes occur, then certain trigger molecules, or proteins in this case, will be activated and the machinery starts to work. And this is, I would guess, or I would say the main take-home message from the study, that it's more important or it's even beneficial to have a sort of timeout. And especially in cases where your total caloric intake over the day is very limited. Because when you are doing those, when you are trying to nibble around 12 hours or 14 hours, you are awake on a certain amount of calories, you are mostly guaranteed to run into problems, either psychologically or later on physiologically, because you cannot really stick to the diet and you will also have a higher risk of not only not feeling satisfied, but not making optimal progress in terms or in the second discipline, which is, at least in my mind, always a complementary part to any diet that is exercise.
Right. Okay, I want to take our last commercial break, and I'm saving the best for last.
we are going to be talking about something that's important to everybody out there. We've done lots of discussions on vaccines. We've had Dr. Tenpenny on. I want to talk about the research that you found that seems to link vaccines and has an effect on infant mortality when we come back. Is that good?
Sounds good.
Okay. We're talking with Adele Moussa, author of Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product, bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Science in the News Roundup with Adele Moussa.
And Carl Lenore.
Oh, yes, and Carl Lenore. I'm always here. I'm like the light switch. No one pays attention to the light switch. You turn it on and off every day. You take it for granted. That's it. All right, so anyway, this is a really important discussion because this is something that a lot of us has suspected. One of the vaccines that is given to children as their initial vaccination process when they're first born has been linked to a reduction in the serotonin response, which is part of the brain's emergency
dispatch system that it lasts about 2 weeks, supposedly, after this. And we talked about this on the show quite a long time ago. But we've always talked about this, but we really didn't have anything to point at and go, wow, look, you know, here's some proof. But you found some proof, haven't you?
Yeah, it was quite coincidental, I must admit. I was just reading another study that was also published in the Journal of Human and Experimental Toxicology. And these days, the journal pages are quite about as modern as every other internet page, and you've got those. You might be interested in this, and most read articles are these, and so on and so forth. And I just clicked through those tabs and found one about the most read articles. And the most read article within the last month was one that was entitled Infant Mortality Rates, Regressed Against Number of Vaccine Doses Routinely Given. Is there a biochemical or synergistic toxicity? And obviously, I was intrigued and clicked on the link and checked out what the scientists did. And the study is nothing that would be considered proof, or you could not use it to go to a judge and point with a finger at the U.S. government or any other government that requires children, or at least recommends children, to be vaccinated. But there is an intriguing correlation, in fact, between what they call the infant mortality rate, that is a rating. It's not exactly a number that says two children out of I don't know how many, but it's rather a ranking that is generated by statisticians.
Yes, statisticians. That's it. You got it.
Yeah. Okay. Usually, and you got a ranking, and this is a top 34 nations they are citing here, and it's from 2009. And guess who ranks place 34?
Right.
It's the United States. And what the scientists now did is that they took all the nations that were in this rating, and they checked their vaccination requirements and how many doses of vaccines children were given. And they ranked them according to groups, where the lowest group got 12 to 14 vaccinations, that is group 1. The highest group, the fifth group, got 24 to 26 vaccinations, that is twice the amount. And what they found is that the chances of being low in this ranking, that means of having a high rate of infant mortality, rises when you are in one of those, well, I could not say over-vaccination groups, but in the group of countries where
they have standardized
the most vaccines are given.
Right, standardized vaccination protocols, where they have a national vaccination program.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think that the thing that's really exciting about this, Adele, is the text that you sent that's highlighted. It says, shortly thereafter in 1969, medical certifiers presented a new medical term, sudden infant death syndrome. Now, keep in mind that it was in the early 60s that this whole national vaccination campaign started. I remember television commercials, the rubella umbrella for the rubella vaccination. And various measles vaccinations and mumps vaccinations all being advertised on mainstream television.
Yeah, and according to this study, they were first time in history required.
Yes. And so, I was born in 1958. I don't know what vaccinations I got in 58, but I know in the 60s I was getting vaccinations. It was being taken to the doctor for various vaccinations. Luckily, I was older, but these poor young children obviously became part of a new nomenclature. Sudden infant death syndrome, or crib death, as you point out in the literature, prior to contemporary vaccination programs, was so infrequent that it was very rarely, if at all, mentioned in infant mortality statistics. So, folks, those of you who are still questioning, like, should I get my kids vaccinated? Shouldn't I? I mean, look, they didn't even have a term for crib death
before vaccinations weren't made widespread required in this country. And why isn't anyone talking about this? I'm freaked out about this. So there's, you know what? Elisa has a baby brother that died of SIDS right after he got his vaccines. His name was Philip. We visit his grave regularly, put flowers on it. So, you know, people need to be pissed off about this because this is forced upon us and sanctioned by the Federal Food and Drug Administration, an arm of the federal government, and no one is talking about the fact. I mean, how many parents would electrocute their child when it's born? Of course not. You don't want to hurt them. Then why would you let someone give them these toxic chemicals in their blood? People need to wake up. I mean,
what's also intriguing about the study, well, first of all, I want to add, the real problem I see is it's not so much that that you cannot vaccinate your child, but it may even be that there are certain vaccines which are really beneficial. But the problem is that that the pro-vaccination side is so dogmatic about the benefits that they simply discard negative evidence and don't even try to find out whether there is a relation. And this is also obvious if you look at how they responded to this initial rise in sudden infant death. That was to tell parents that they should not need they should watch how their children sleep.
Right.
And change the way they sleep. That is, I think they were no longer supposed to lie flat on their tummy.
Right, which is the way a baby likes to lay. A baby likes to lay with its little butt up in the air and its shoulders and its chest pressed against the mattress. That's how they like to sleep.
Yeah, and that's the first intriguing thing. And the other intriguing thing the scientists in this paper point out is that this led to two other new causes of infant mortality being introduced, that is suffocation and unknown causes. And the interesting thing is that after those new terms were introduced, the scientists said, the regulators at least, could say that they were able to reduce SIDS, that is, sudden infant death syndrome, because now that the children were no longer dying in this position, many fell in the unknown cause category or in the other new suffocation category.
How terrible.
And then the authors plotted the data from different years and simply added back on, the new categories. And what you see is that instead of decreasing the overall mortality to such suspicious child deaths or primitive child deaths, mainly remained the same. And this is an argument they are making that oftentimes it's just the way you look at the data that will produce the results you want to see. And this is also what I was hinting at before, because if you really don't want even to be the slightest evidence that the vaccination you are putting on everybody or pressing on everybody could maybe be harmful, you just have to tweak the data in the right way and to achieve the result. Of course, you can say the scientists who printed or who put this paper together, they also tweaked around with the data and put it together in their or to support their
right.
argument. But that is science. And that would be reason enough to really conduct trials and to try to find out, to generate new data that would at least allow for conclusively answer if this is a loose correlation or a statistically insignificant correlation, or if this is maybe really a causative effect. And another factor they did not even include in this analysis, and this is something I'm also concerned about, is what kind of vaccination are the children
right.
given? They just They did distinguish which vaccination, if it was polio, if it was the triple vaccination you get right when you're born. But they did not look at what adjuvants they use in the vaccinations and what they didn't use. And maybe if we did this secondary analysis, we might maybe find out why Singapore is top-ranked and Sweden is top-ranked. And the U.S. is on the last place. Maybe
right.
It's not really, maybe it's not even the number of vaccines, but rather how the vaccines are composed.
Right.
And another factor is that in the U.S., obviously, the vaccination program is required. In several other nations in this list, it is not required. That means you would also have to ask how many of the children, for example, in Andorra are actually getting vaccinated so that they have that they are ranking ninth on this list. There are many factors that could play in here, and so it may be premature to say there is a causative effect, but there's at least, and this is also what the scientists conclude, there's at least the need to reinvestigate and to rediscuss the problems that may occur from too many vaccinations, from giving the false, the wrong vaccinations, or from using substances that are supposed to make the vaccine more powerful, or maybe even to reduce the active ingredient of the vaccine, that in the end are more damaging to the child than the vaccine itself.
Well, you know something? After we did the show with Dr. Tenpenny, I went out to pick up some raw milk, and I asked my farmer, Jay King, I said, Jay, when little Mennonite babies are born, are they vaccinated? And he said, no. I said, really? I said, the hospital doesn't force you? He goes, well, we don't go to the hospital. He goes, you know, we have midwives, and they deliver babies. They have their own facilities there, you know, that they go to. They have people that they go to that are in the Mennonite community. And I thought, you know, they just did that Amish gut study. We have a controlled environment with the Amish, the Old Order Amish, and we also have a controlled environment with the Mennonites. We have people that don't take antibiotics. They don't take these types of pharmaceutical drugs except if they're being threatened by death and have no other choice. They don't vaccinate their children. It'd be interesting to find out what the rate of SIDS is amongst the old Amish order and the Mennonites. And you know,
that would be, for example, one of those follow-up studies which should actually now be conducted by no other than the FDA, or which governmental body is regulating the vaccination program in the U.S.
Yeah.
But as I said before, it obviously does not appear to be a real interest in following up those.
And you know what? And Adele is applying scientific approach. I tend to be the zealot, okay, you know, but the reality is what Adele is saying is true. Maybe there is a causative effect. Maybe it's one of the vaccines. Maybe it's an agent that was in one of the vaccines. But clearly, there is enough linkage, at least epidemiologically, to cause someone to go, hey, we need to look into this. I think people need to be outraged by why no one's looking into this. Your children are not that important to the FDA, obviously. So maybe it's not. Maybe there is no real correlation. Maybe it's there's something else afoot here. But don't you think that the FDA knows the same thing that we're talking about on this show right now? Why isn't anyone investigating it? Because your children are not important in the scheme of things in running this country. That's why. That's the the cold truth.
One interesting point is the one I mentioned before. At least it is obvious that people are interested in reading this. And you should say that quote-unquote normal people won't frequent the Journal of Toxicology and Human Health. And therefore, it is quite obvious that scientists are also interested in this problem. When this study is the number one read study in the journal, goes to show you that this is nothing that's not of importance. And it's a study that was published online on May 4th in 2011. So it's not just absolutely recent, and it's still heading the most read papers in this magazine. So this goes to tell you that it's not really something people are not, or even scientists are not concerned about.
Yeah. We've come to the end of the interview. We actually went a little long because I wanted to cover this vaccine study in detail. I want to thank Adel Moussa for making time to come on the show and talk about many of these subjects. You can learn more by going to his website, which is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com, the single best blog on the internet for information about nutrition, exercise, and supplementation. That's the only place you need to go. Adel, thank you so much for coming on the air today, and we'll see you again next Thursday, right?
Yeah. Right, looking forward to that already.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I also want to thank Rob Regish and Coach Wade Johnson for coming on and doing the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. And we will see everybody. Oh, no, tomorrow's a holiday. I'm going out of town. That's right. I won't see you until Tuesday. Have a happy and healthy holiday weekend. See you next week.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.